Here we go. Kabbalah, you and the Cosmic Christ number 2. Apparently I have a very sexy voice at the moment because I have a cold. So if I at you a little bit, forgive me. Today we're going to look at the names of God in the Bible and what Jesus Christ Lord actually means in the Kabbalistic context and what I believe is the biblical context too, because we do get confused with this idea of Lord. Lord does not in the Bible automatically mean God. It certainly doesn't mean every aspect of God. It refers to one aspect of God. And I think that's a very important thing for all people studying Christianity to understand. So let's start with slide number 2. I've numbered all the slides this time, which I think will make it easier for all of us. So let's start with the names of God that are actually in the Bible. Of course, there are loads and loads of names of God, and you'll come across in Kabbalistic teaching 72 letter names of God, which are actually syllable names of God, and ideas like that. But actual names that are used in the Bible, the main names that are used in the Bible, number 10, which is not surprising given that there are 10 Sephirot in the Tree of Life and 10 commandments. And they all are placed on the tree. And we start at the crown, Keter, at the top, which is Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, I am that I am. And we'll say more about that in a few minutes' time. And the other names are Elohim, Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, Yah El Adonai El Haishaddai, Yahweh Zeveot, and Elohim Zeveot. There are different pronunciations on all of them, but they basically mean I am that I am. Yahweh means Lord. Elohim means God or gods. Yahweh Elohim means the Lord God. El is God. Adonai means Lord, Master. And it has an equivalency to the Roman god Janus, that level of consciousness, that god level. Janus was the doorkeeper. The feminine of Janus would be Vesta. In Roman culture, you had the woman as representing Vesta, the goddess of the heart, hearth, and the man representing God Janus, the god of the door. And Janus was the doorkeeper, the person who was supposed to police who went in and out of the door. That's very relevant for the story of what Christ means. El Hai Shaddai, Lord God Almighty, that's the most interesting one because Shaddai actually means multi-breasted. So that's a definite feminine attribute of the divine. All the Elohims, El and Eloah, are all aspects of the feminine. Yahweh Zeveot and Elohim Zeveot are actually the angels of God or the hosts of God, the one who are actually carrying out the work of God. And they fit on the tree according to their primary strength, if you like. Ehyeh is the most important one, followed by Yahweh and Elohim pretty much at the same level. El and Yah reflect levels of mercy and severity in the Bible. Yahweh Elohim is the coming together of the male and female. And Yahweh Zeveot and Elohim Zeveot are the sort of ones that manifest the teachings of God. El Hai Shaddai is very interesting because that's only referred to in the Abrahamic teachings in Genesis. It kind of gets covered over or replaced by the idea of Yahweh or Jehovah. Yahweh is also Jehovah, by the way. But the multi-breasted one is also a very prominent pagan image. The statue of Artemis in the Temple of Artemis in Turkey was of a woman with many, many breasts. Some jolly folk have tried to say that there are actually bull testicles hanging on her chest, but I don't really see why any self-respecting woman would go around with bull testicles hanging off her breast when she's got the real thing. However, we'll move swiftly on from that one. There are actually 22 names in the Bible that refer to God, but apart from the first 10, they're sort of attributes of God. And it's also interesting that there are 22 because there are 22 pathways on the Tree of Life. Now, I don't go in for coincidences that much, so I suspect it's probably relevant. But most of them, apart from the 10, are about being everlasting or God will provide or God heals. The Lord is my banner. God is jealous. These are on slide number 3. The jealous God is only referred to in the Ten Commandments when it says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. and that says I, Yahweh, the Elohim, and El Kuana. I don't know how you pronounce that. And the word jealous in that context actually means holding to fidelity, rather than I'm going to smite you if you go for anybody else. We will talk about the commandments hopefully sometime in this series, but the top three commandments, which are the supernal triad of the tree of life, all relate to our relationship with God. And the don't make any graven image in the mystical tradition means you don't say that anything is so and therefore cannot be contradicted. The second you make something a graven image, it can't be changed. And of course, Christianity, Judaism, Islam have done an awful lot of that. It's not necessarily mean don't draw it. It just means that if you make an image that is physical, people are going to believe in that and they're going to worship the image rather than the source of the image. My bishop taught me a very useful saying, which I'm sure wasn't original with him, but came from him, which is that most people don't worship God. Most people will find somebody who's been to the Holy Land and got an acquaintanceship with God, Holy Land meaning the spiritual Holy Land. They will worship that person. And if they can't find the person, they'll find the signpost and worship that. And quite often religion is people worshipping the map rather than actually following the map. And worshipping the map is a graven image, without a doubt. And the do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The third commandment is not actually about don't go around saying, oh my God. It's saying don't abuse the ultimate name of God. And the ultimate name of God is, guess what, I am. And that changes the whole commandment hugely. Do not take the name I am in vain. And boy, do we do that a lot.